Welcome to Health System CIO's Partner Spotlight Interview. I'm Anthony Guerra, Editor-in-Chief. Many CIOs who spent the better part of the last decade working on EHR implementations and other clinically related projects are now turning their attentions to the business side of the house. And few systems loom as large on that side as ERP, a suite of products that run an expansive gamut in functionality and a large range in price. As they turn to these systems, CIOs are embracing the same move to the cloud seen all over the industry. But, according to HealthLink Advisors CEO Lindsay Jarrell and Vice President Tim Webb, not all vendors are ready for prime time. In this extensive interview, Jarrell and Webb break down the vendor landscape and offer CIOs advice on how to navigate it.
Thanks for joining me, Lindsay and Tim. Really appreciate you guys taking the time to chat about what I think is going to be a fascinating topic. So let's start off. I'd like a little bit of background on your organization and your roles there. Lindsay, we've known each other a long time, and I think you've known Tim a long time. So give people a little bit of flavor, if you would, for your experience. This isn't your first rodeo, as it were, and your organization.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. Great to be with you today and to be talking about this subject. So I serve as the CEO of HealthLink Advisors. HealthLink Advisors is an advisory-based firm. We really serve the office of the CIO and other operational leaders in hospitals and healthcare organizations. Prior to founding HealthLink Advisors 3.5 years ago, I was a partner with PricewaterhouseCoopers and led their national revenue cycle practice, as well as part of their health information technology practice. Prior to that, with my entire career in healthcare, I was CIO at BayCare Health System based in Tampa Bay, Florida. And prior to that, I spent a long time with the original HealthLink, which many people may remember. And of course, that's where we got our namesake for HealthLink Advisors. So entire career in healthcare, and looking forward to discussing things with you today. I'll turn it over to Tim.
Tim, I believe you got to know Lindsay back at HealthLink, or was it before that even?
I did. Actually, that was about 20 years ago that Lindsay and I first worked together at HealthLink. And I had started out, actually, my career at Pricewaterhouse back in the 80s, and then went to First Consulting Group, HealthLink, Tatum, KSA, and now back with HealthLink Advisors. So I've been doing this for over 30 years and have known Lindsay for over 20.
Very good. All right. Well, we're going to talk about the ERP market today, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Before we start, I thought it'd be good to set a baseline definition. ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning. What is it? Always the same suite of products, or can you have some in and some out, and it depends on sort of what the customer needs or what's a classic definition of ERP? Lindsay, you want to go first?
Yeah, the classic definition is that ERP includes supply chain, financials, and what we'll call human capital, which is kind of a fancy way of saying human resources. That's the classical definition of what ERP includes. But I'll tell you, it's changing, and it's changing just because of the way technology and process changes. Tim spends a lot of time in this area. I know, Tim, you want to talk a little bit maybe about the what I term as the ecosystem around ERP, which is really still ERP.
That's right. There's a lot of additional functionality that's being focused on by the vendors as they mature their products. And it's not uncommon to see functions like treasury or project accounting or performance management. These are all things that are maybe considered part of ERP, but are actually ancillary in many systems. And so there are literally dozens of point solutions, some of which may still provide specific functionality, not currently in the newer integrated or even the older integrated ERP systems.
All right, very good. So I understand that you've been getting a lot of inquiries for work, for consulting services around ERP. So what are people coming to you asking for on a more specific level? Lindsay?
Yeah, so we're getting a lot of requests for ERP roadmaps, you know, where based on the ERP system I use today, where should I be going over the next 1 to 5 years with my ERP systems? Some of that's driven by the current technology installed today and the maturity level of that technology. You know, there's some vendors in the market right now that are struggling a lot in terms of their product roadmap. There's also some new vendors, newer, I should say, that have come into the market and are really defining the conversation. And so some of the things we're getting asked to do is to come in and evaluate these newer vendors. So Workday is a great example of that. You know, Workday is a newer vendor in the ERP market. They really started on that human capital side of the business. They have a really good story. They have a great looking product. And when they're calling on the vice president of HR or senior vice president of HR in these health systems, that person is seeing a product that shows a lot of promise to solve some of their process problems. And so they get excited about that, which may lead into some internal direction that we need a new human capital system. And so we get called in to say, hey, is that right? Do we really need a new system? And if we want a system, what kind of benefits could we expect? Is this vendor for real? How much will the vendor cost? So, you know, I would break it down and say we do a lot of assessments about kind of how well you're using your ERP systems today. We do roadmaps to help you figure out a good direction to go. And then we do a lot of system selection work. So I know I need a new ERP system. Help me find the right fit in the right areas for my organization. And then we're doing, once that type of work is complete, we're also doing project and program management over implementations as those things get going.
So you mentioned that the business leaders are the ones that are often sold to. And then it would be the CIO who's calling you in for an assessment. Is that usually what's happening?
Yeah, it is. That's usually the way it works. You know, I don't want to minimize it, the fact that a lot of times it's the CIO who's coming up with the ask as well. That's more driven by the CIO recognizing their current vendor today really is not doing what needs to be done in order to serve the organization for the future. So, for example, we're seeing quite a bit of pain come out of N4 clients today. N4 is struggling on their ERP roadmap, and so that's causing some CIOs to just pause and say, do I need to be considering something different here?
So you actually see, this is sort of interesting, you see CIOs that are being sort of proactive and looking into the businesses and probably in different areas, but one of them being ERP area. And you're saying they may not even be getting complaints from business, but they may be identifying a problem that business hasn't even identified. Is that possible?
Yeah, I would break it down though in a couple of areas, right? So I think where the problems the CIOs are seeing is more along the lines of, hey, the last couple of upgrades I've taken from this vendor, the code quality has been really poor. So like my IT team is telling me this vendor's code quality is poor. We can't get through the upgrades. And then the vendor is showing up and not really having a clear roadmap of where they're going from integration or functionality. So I think that's the CIOs are seeing that. The business leaders are feeling like, you know, oh my gosh, the recruitment module that I've been promised now is never coming to fruition. Where is that? So the business leaders are getting more frustrated by, I think, the lack of functionality, and the CIOs are saying, wow, my quality is really wavering here on my existing relationship, and that causes, you know, some red flags.
Right. So I guess the perfect storm for a vendor would be when they're getting complaints from both constituencies. You have alignment on the provider side in terms of not being happy. If the business leaders are not feeling like they get what they're needing, and the IT people are seeing a product that is not, that is causing technology problems on the technology side, then you've got an issue as a vendor, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You've got kind of a nightmare scenario because the, you know, the conversation often starts when we arrive, the conversation often starts with, hey, I know we need a new system. Help me figure out which one. You know, a lot of conversations are starting there just because of that frustration level.
Right, right. So you could have the different scenarios, I think, as you're mentioning. You can have that perfect storm of both sides not being happy, or you could have one or the other side not being happy. And then you have the things play out different ways. If the IT people are seeing technology that they're not happy with, business leaders may say, hey, this works just fine for what we need. And you may have business leaders that are not happy with the functionality, but the IT people are not seeing a problem from a purely technology point of view. So is it correct? You could have any of those scenarios.
You could. And I'll add a little bit more to that, Anthony, on the technology side. You know, the cloud delivery of software as a service applications is where, of course, everyone's headed. And that further really illuminates that technology conversation because Workday and Oracle, who have true cloud-based offerings in this ERP market, are out there selling and delivering cloud-based ERP applications. Infor, who is installed in hundreds of hospitals across the U.S., they are not ready to move to cloud yet. I think they would tell you they are, but our research and work says they're not quite ready yet. And so that's putting Infor at a disadvantage in many selections. That you know, again, it kind of illuminates that technology discussion because there are a lot of organizations who are saying, I need to be evaluating cloud-based products for total cost of ownership, to save a capital outlay. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, I'm sure, too. But it's just a kind of another layer on that competitive piece of who's winning in the market and who's losing. That cloud piece is really playing into the system selections around the ERP that we're seeing.
And we've spoken to many CIOs over the past couple of years who are total cloud advocates, converts. They want everything sort of off their premises that they can get. And it's almost a mission to them. Do you feel the same way that and it seems to be the most forward-thinking CIOs, they just want everything in the cloud they can get in the cloud?
Yeah, we definitely see that trend. You know, we spend a lot of time helping people look at the true total cost of ownership of moving to a cloud. You know, what we often see is that the vendors offering cloud-based solutions today have figured out the pricing model to kind of get as much as they can out of the organization. So sometimes cloud, in fact, isn't cheaper. It's neutral because of the way the vendors are pricing it. But I agree, it is a huge trend. Forward-thinking CIOs are headed that way. And so much of what we deal with today will be cloud-based in the future. It's clearly the direction.
Very good. All right. Let's take those vendors one at a time if we want to go a little more in-depth. Is there any more you want to offer about Infor specifically in the situation that you're seeing in the marketplace with the company?
Tim, you want to hit on the vendors a little bit?
Let's do that. So, you know, as Lindsay referred to, you know, Infor has, been in the market a while. They acquired Lawson. Lawson had a large market share in healthcare as a leading solution. So a large portion of healthcare systems today have Infor as their current vendor. Infor established a roadmap to their cloud products, and the focus initially was on that human capital management, because generally financial and supply chain users were, you know, okay with the legacy solution. But as Lindsay alluded to, oftentimes this starts in HR, and HR leaders in healthcare have been struggling to find the functionality that they need. They've been implementing point solutions around Lawson for years, and there are many available to fill the gaps in performance management, recruiting, et cetera. So, you know, this has resulted in integration issues with, you know, manual data entry between applications. That results in errors, gaps in data. Different user interfaces from these applications make gaining adoption difficult. So these healthcare organizations are paying a lot in application fees, manual processes, and still not getting the value. So, you know, the logical first option was to follow the Infor roadmap. And as they've tried to move from legacy Lawson Infor platform to the new Cloud Suite solution, they've struggled. They've struggled with the upgrade and even when upgrading portions of the HR application. So, you know, this pain has made them stop, take a step back, reevaluate their position on Infor's roadmap, and look at other options in the marketplace.
What about Oracle?
So Oracle, you know, historically they entered this, you know, space through a couple of acquisitions, the big one being PeopleSoft in 2004, which led to the founders leaving, the founders of PeopleSoft leaving and forming Workday the next year. So Oracle has PeopleSoft. They've continued to support the product, and they've pushed out the end date, the end of life for that product by a couple of years. They're now saying 2029. Interestingly, Infor has not published an end date for the you know the legacy Lawson product. There's that's still out there. So Oracle has PeopleSoft, but they came out with their solution based on their Fusion architecture. But they've really only entered healthcare a couple of years ago. So when you look at Oracle, they were selling PeopleSoft until a couple of years ago. And in fact, I still hear occasionally if somebody, you know, still buying it. But quite frankly, that product, you can look talking to the Oracle product manager, and you can check this on the Oracle website. They have continued to do updates, but they changed their model, and the number of updates they've done in the last 5 years is equivalent to one upgrade. So they're not investing in that product. So it will eventually end, but you know, who's to say exactly when. Their new product is hitting the market. They're gaining market share, but again, they've only been selling into healthcare for a couple of years. So they don't have as many clients as Workday, for example, with their new solution.
All right. Well, let's talk a little more about Workday. What's your overview on that company? Lindsay had mentioned them.
Sure. So Workday has been around since 2005, and they entered healthcare early. Their first product was the human capital management. They have since added financials, and as they've kind of grown, and they actually probably have the largest market share. They have about 190 clients under contract, about 150 of those live. Oracle, by the way, has about 65, 70 clients under contract, and about 25 of those live. So Workday is coming along. They just really introduced their supply chain function. So, you know, their focus in healthcare, as Lindsay alluded to, has been selling to the CHROs, you know, the people in charge of HR, because that was their sweet spot. That's what they really had a solution for. Only about a third of their healthcare clients have their financial modules. And they only have a handful that are live now on their supply chain. They have about six or seven, and they're both all smaller. So that's still a pretty it's you know they're just getting into the full capabilities.
Very good. So Infor, large number of healthcare users and some issues over there. What would your advice be for current Infor clients who, you know, I guess if you're happy, you're happy, but if you're not quite as happy as you could be, what's your advice for those folks?
So, you know, as Lindsay alluded to, we're getting a lot of inquiries from them about, you know, what do we do? Are we the only ones in this situation? Because Infor has, you know, kept it very close to the vest, you know, where they've sold new clients. And so the first, you know, response we give to an Infor client is you are not alone. All of your peers are going through the same situation. They're struggling with those upgrades. They're struggling with the wraparounds, really understanding where Infor is with the vision. So our first response is you're not alone. The Lawson or Infor community is in healthcare is very much at the same spot. The second thing is that we talk to them about is, you know, take a step back and let's look at it from a complete ERP perspective. Let's not think about it as just an HR solution. There are organizations out there that have, and many healthcare organizations that have implemented Workday, but not as an ERP strategy, really more as a human capital management strategy. And what has that has led to for those kind of early adopters is, you know, they've, particularly the ones that went with Workday, they're waiting on the rest of the functionality. They're still waiting. Supply chain is still a very immature product. So when we talk to our clients, we say, you know, you've got to take a step back and think about this as an enterprise type of approach. You want to form an oversight committee that includes all of the senior leadership, the CIO, the CFO, the CHRO, and we also include in that the COO and the CNO. Because we think it's important to remember that an ERP is part of the business system portfolio, and it's used by every employee in the organization. So it is as comprehensive as an EHR in many ways. And so that's why we recommend you have the voice of the customer at the table when you start talking about an assessment or a roadmap or even a selection.
Lindsay? Anything you want to add?
I think Tim did a great job covering it all. I would just add from that governance perspective to, you know, broaden that conversation quickly and early, even though you're likely to be getting pressure from one key department like HR, which we keep referring to in this discussion. It's important to keep that broad mindset in play. When you buy, you don't have to buy and implement human capital, finance, and supply chain all at the same time. You can stagger those implementations, but when you buy, it's important that you have a holistic mindset around that to understand, will I be using the same vendor for all of these in the next 3 to 5 years? So you can buy and just implement human capital, but you really need to determine if you're going to go ahead and roll that out for the rest of the organization as well in a 3 to 5 year time period.
Very good. So people come to you and they ask you to take a look at their ERP situation, and you might give them any number of different pieces of feedback, which might be stick with what you have for whatever reason, and you can go into that. Or it might be we advise you to go on another platform. But I think, you know, there's work to be done. Right. Even if you're going to go on a different platform, there's plenty of time. You can take advantage of the time before you switch to get your house in order. Maybe you want to talk more about that, Lindsay.
As organizations think about acquiring these new ERP systems, there's really been a change in the way these software vendors think about implementation and an implementation methodology. And what I mean by that is once you've signed the contract and you've bought the software, these vendors expect these organizations to arrive ready to go. And what do I mean by that? They expect these organizations to arrive with standardized pay practices across the board from an HR perspective or a standardized supply master across the organization for supplies. Perhaps standardized financial processes to close books across the organization. And these are all really large undertakings. It's necessary to be standardized in these ways in order for that cloud-based application to work well, right? These cloud-based new applications are tightly integrated, and they really work well and best off of standardized practices across large organizations. And I mention all of that because it's not just about buying the software and allowing the vendor to implement the software. There's a lot of business transformation practices that come along with that, just what I was talking about there. So So when we think about the buying new ERP software, we're working with organizations a lot on total cost of ownerships to say, what will it really take to buy it? So we're looking at the cost of the software. We're looking at how much the vendor costs to implement the software. But then you need to go hire third-party consultants, and you need to be ready for the kickoff. You need to have standardized a lot of the things I talked about before and more, and really think about how you're going to take advantage of this software, because it is very expensive. When you think about tens of millions of dollars expensive. And so without that business transformation and without really being ready for the software vendor, you're not going to get your money's worth out of these new systems.
It's kind of fascinating that it's necessary to bring in third-party help in order to figure out what something costs, right? I mean, that's how complex these things are. And, you know, taking the vendor's word for it on what it's going to cost doesn't sound like it's the way to go. It sounds like either you got to figure it out for yourself, and it's not as clear often as what you're told, or you got to bring in help like HealthLink to come figure out just what it's going to cost.
I agree with you, and we see it all the time. And I think it just comes down to how different businesses are incentivized to sell and create revenue, right? So the software vendors want to make it sound easy and want to kind of grease the skids so that they can get that transaction through procurement. The client will sign the contract. And we spend a lot of time just helping organizations look around the corner so they can anticipate the unknowns.
And that's the difference between selling it to the business leaders who want it because it's going to help them do their jobs, and may not understand all the nuances of bringing a piece of enterprise technology on board. You know, that's why it's got to hit the CIO. It's got to hit their office, and then they're the ones that say, you know, not only is this much more complicated, but even we as an IT shop need to bring in some help to figure out the implications of this.
Yeah, one of my favorite examples in that regard, and it's a simple one, and I'm sure, Tim, you've got more, is I've literally sat in sales presentations with Workday where the sales reps say, don't worry about the interfaces. Those are right out of the box. You don't even need to involve IT. I've heard that with my own ears, you know, and that'll just make a CIO's hair catch on fire when they hear that. So.
That's right. Absolutely. And there are other vendors that do it as well. And it plays to the business owner, you know, the head of HR who wants to hear that because, you know, they feel like IT has held them back or, you know, the system capabilities held them back. And to be able to have the vendor say, you don't need IT, it's music to their ears. But unfortunately, they don't even know what the implications of that are. You know, to Lindsay's point about total cost of ownership, these systems do not implement themselves, and I've talked through reference calls with several of the vendors that if a client does not dedicate resources to the implementation, similar to an EHR, to a person, they will say their number one lesson learned is make sure you bring sufficient resources to the implementation. Pull people out of their jobs so they're dedicated to the implementation. These are not simple, you know, off the shelf, you know, install the software. There's a lot of business process that needs to go into it. And if you're not there, you know, not involved, it results in a less than optimal implementation.
Let's give our vendor friend some advice here. What is your advice? Now, you want to sell something to the person who's going to use it. So I understand going to the business leaders, they're the ones who would be using it, as opposed to going to IT first. But to try and cut IT out of the process is just ridiculous for an enterprise buy. You could see them trying it for a little departmental point solution. But to try it on this, to me, seems just a very junior salesperson mistake and really foolish. What's your advice to them on what's the proper way to sell something like this and involve the right people at the right time? Is it okay to go to business leaders first, But as a sophisticated salesperson, I would think you would want to make sure IT was brought in sooner rather than later, because, as we said, they can get rightly irritated if things go too far along before they're brought in. So why set yourself up for a frictional relationship with the IT department? Anyway, your thoughts, Lindsay?
Well, I hear you, and I agree with you. We witness it all the time, though, that the salespeople have good success by starting with the business. I think they view it that once they create the momentum from the business side, it would be hard for IT to stop it. And they're kind of willing to put up with IT being mad at them as opposed to going and working with IT as a partner. We really do see it a lot. That's not an exaggeration. I think it is declared sales strategy. I don't know that for a fact. I can tell you that, my advice to any folks selling this is focus on the benefits, right? Don't overpromise on the easy implementation, because it's the truth's going to come out and then you're going to get hurt by that. But focus on the benefits and the good things that will come by doing this implementation or using this new product well. If you focus on that, there is a lot to be gained here, but it's hard work to go get it. Just anything worth having is often hard work, and I think this is a good example of that. So really lead with the benefits about how it's going to benefit the organization, how it's going to benefit the patients, how it's going to benefit the market and the employees, and focus less on just the clicks and the functionality. But,
you talked about capital outlay. This is not quite EHR dollars, but it's not insignificant. How would you describe the outlay?
Yeah, in the tens of millions of dollars, when you look at the cost of the software, the cost of vendor implementation, the cost of third-party consultants, all the cost of the go-live activities that go on, so it ranges. I mean, we've seen it as large as $30 to $50 million for very large enterprises. So it's going to range based on the number of facilities, the number of users you have, whether or not you're going to just start with human capital, which is common these days, and go with finance and supply chain in the future. So a lot of those variables come into play, but it's a significant expense. The way that you will first see it from any of these vendors, if you're a CIO or in a leadership role in IT, the first time you see the proposal, you're simply going to see a few dollars for implementation. By a few dollars, I mean $5 million or less. And then you're going to see an annual rate of, depending on your organizational size, say $500,000 to $2 million a year in subscription fees. And that's not going to feel like tens of millions of dollars, because you're not looking at all the components, the true total cost to implement it. So we're not trying to scare folks off. We're just trying to be really thoughtful and realistic about what is the cost burden for the organization.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about your advice for the CIOs on dealing with the business leaders. As we said, if everybody's in alignment that it's time for a change, great. IT says, yeah, this is the technology here is flawed. Business leaders want something new. What about a scenario where the business leaders want a new tool because they're not getting the functionality they need, but for any number of reasons, the CIO and the IT department determine it's either not the right move at all, or it's not right to change at all, or it's not right to change in any kind of near-term time period, contractual reasons, cost, things like that. How does the CIO articulate a no? And these are the people you're supposed to be serving, right? I mean, well, you're supposed to serve the organization, but you also have these internal customers.
Right.
But sometimes in order to serve the organization, you have to say no to an internal customer. So what's your advice for the CIOs when they don't think it's the right move either now or ever?
Well, I'd start by just, kind of challenging the framework of how that discussion is happening. And if you've got a business unit coming to you declaring they have a clear need, I think we have to challenge a business unit to be clear. What is it that you see in this new product that you don't have today? And then the CIO and his or her team need to deploy into that business unit, HR, finance, supply chain, recruitment, wherever it is, and get out of the meetings and go observe. You know, when I sat in the CIO seat, and I know in Tim and his roles, we are both very big proponents of walking a mile in our customers' shoes, whether those customers are internal or external. So let's get out of the meetings. Let's send a couple of managers or directors to go observe in the departments. Let's experience their pain firsthand and really help be advisors to them to help them make the right decision. I would just challenge folks to say if the discussions are really only happening in meetings that people schedule, and that's where the decision is being reached about what a department needs or doesn't need, I think that people need to deploy into the departments and witness it firsthand. Now, that kind of deployment and partnership at the department level will illuminate, I think, maybe one of three scenarios. One, the tool in use today can actually do the things the department needs it to do, and they just don't know of the functionality or understand how to use it. Or, you know, old processes have just been inherited there over time, and they just kind of need some retraining and rebaselining, because the tool they have today could actually help them out a lot. The second is the tool they have today can't do it. The software application cannot do what they need, but our current vendor is about to come out with an upgrade that'll solve that problem for them. Or the current vendor has some training or some workarounds that will really improve process and save time and money. Or third, yeah, this current solution is not getting it done. We do need to be looking outside. And then that's a richer conversation done in true partnership. I realize that that is the intent of any of us who have worked in this industry and served internal customers, but sometimes it just need those kind of conversations need to happen at the detailed level inside the department and outside of conference rooms. Tim, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I think those are excellent points, Lindsay. And I would add that oftentimes this discussion starts to center around what are the skills that IT is bringing to the table to help the end users through that discussion. And oftentimes what we see is a lack of true business analyst skills. IT oftentimes has the technical expertise to support, you know, ERP and other business systems, but doesn't really, you know, hasn't lived in the department, et cetera. And the department may have one or two people that sit there, but again, they've always been focused around, for example, you know, Lawson that's been installed for 20 years. And so they're very application centric, and they've forgotten how to look at, you know, operational processes. And so that business analyst skill is an important component of that discussion, and making sure that we are looking beyond the technology, truly at the process. You alluded to before, you know, the standardization is key for a new system. Many clients look at this as a journey that takes, you know, a year or more to clean up the data, clean up, you know, the processes, standardize those processes, mature those processes, optimize what they have today, and then go out and look at the marketplace and see, okay, compare that to the vendor they're on and what that roadmap looks like and what the technology alternatives are with the new systems.
All right, very good. I think we've covered most of the issues I wanted to cover today. Is there anything else you want to touch on or anything you want to add? I'd like to give you some opportunity for some final thoughts or advice for our CIO listeners. Lindsay, you want to go first?
Yeah, thanks. You know, I guess kind of in summary, think enterprise, not department, is one tagline I'd probably put on this. So even though you may be feeling a lot of pain in one single area or with one single module of your current ERP vendor, it's important to think broadly and kind of where this roadmap is potentially going to take you over the next 5 years. And I would you know, get a broad set of stakeholders involved. Tim did a great job outlining that. That depending on how your IT governance model works today, that may feel a little unnatural, but all of these business stakeholders and clinical stakeholders are working to get more efficient, to drive cost out, and to use a lean term, to remove waste out of the system. And I think they're eager to engage in really strategic discussions like this. And then, you know, look hard at the market to find the right fit. It's not just a matter of going and buying new technology. There are paths to save your current technology today. So, you know, think carefully and look at the market as a whole.
Tim, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think the conversation we have with clients that is really important here is, if you're going to look at the vendors that are out there, hold them accountable to bring best practice, not to just show you all the bells and whistles and the functions, but actually how they've used their tool and developed best practices with their other clients to bring you a best practice, because this is truly about business transformation. It's not about, nobody's really excited about just changing out a lot of software that impacts a lot of people with all that cost involved without getting some real benefit. And Lindsay alluded to it, and that benefit comes through, you know, best practices, and you've got to hold the vendors accountable. The most beneficial, I think, you know, selection projects have been where the vendors have done that. And it is not necessarily natural for them to do that. They would much rather go through a script in a demo and completely ignore maybe what's relevant to you. So I would add, if you're going to go out and look at the vendors, make sure that you're holding them, you know, to bring best practice, not just we can do it however you want, because unfortunately, with any technology, we can pave the cow path. We can automate your horrible manual process that you have today, and you'll be no better for it.
Well, very good, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for listening to this Partner Spotlight interview from Health System CIO. To hear other podcasts, visit our website or subscribe to our account in iTunes at healthsystemcio.com/podcast.